Amen. Now, we're very glad to have all of you tonight, and we welcome you, each and every one, warmly and sincerely in the Saviour's name. We trust that God will encourage you and bless you for coming. And Dr. Douglas is going to read the Word of God now from the book of Lamentations, just after the great prophecy of Jeremiah. You've got a little book there, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel, just in between the two. Lamentations, it's chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 14, and God's servant Dr. Douglas will read the Word of God just now.
Let us all turn to the Word of God this evening. If I may remind you, although we are not likely to have forgotten, it's the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2. I think everybody here will remember that these words were written by a broken-hearted servant of God, that outstanding prophet, Jeremiah, weeping his heart out over the desolation of Jerusalem. He's looking back as well as attempting to look out into the future. And these are his lamentations. They're all about Jerusalem, about the loss of life, terrible destruction, the desolation of the temple, the house of God, to him especially precious. So we're reading in verse 14, "Thy prophets, O many who called themselves prophets, were available for help in the time we're talking about. But they had seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment." In every age, I think we can say there are those who profess to have come from God to be message bearers, but they cover over the truth. They don't lay bare the guilt of sin. They may even say to some who have never turned to Christ, "Now you're good and you've been faithful and caring," and they never get around to say, "Have you ever been saved? Is your heart right with God?" These men have seen vain and foolish things. And you can see it there ever so clearly. Look at verse 14 there, that line. They have not discovered, they have not laid bare the root of the problem. They haven't shown you the guilt of sin. A man needs to see his sin before he can see God's remedy, before he can see by faith the Saviour. And verse 15, "All that pass by clap their hands at thee." There were many people who didn't care. "They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, 'Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth?' All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, 'We have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day that we have looked for. We have found, we have seen it. The Lord hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. And he hath caused the enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river, day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the woman eat their fruit, and children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed but not pitied. Thou hast called as in a solemn day my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Solemn words, words that came from the depths of the heart, as you will understand. And we pray that God will draw near tonight. Even we think of this country, and many around us here, without God and without a Savior. The Lord bless his word tonight, as in the ministry it comes before us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank Dr. Douglas for reading the word of the Lord for us this evening. Our text is found in verse 19 of this chapter in Lamentations. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. We trust that God will bless this text to your hearts this evening. Jeremiah was the prophet of the broken heart. The prophecy of Jeremiah itself, which falls just before this little book of Lamentations, really records the weight and the burden, as it's often called, of Jeremiah's great ministry. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, he ministered to the children of Israel on the eve of destruction. And yet the sad reality was they were too stubborn and too proud and too set in their ways to acknowledge their sin, and to acknowledge that they had so grieved the Lord, and they were listening to all sorts of false promises and false prophecies from the pastors and preachers of the day in which Jeremiah lived. It seems that he was one of a very few faithful voices left in the land at that time. Many believe that he began to minister whenever he was just about 21 years of age. And in fact, the prophecy of Jeremiah itself would lend weight to that thought, because the Lord speaks to him and calls him in verse number 5 and indicates, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah's response to that is, in verse 6, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And it indicates, therefore, that Jeremiah was very young whenever he became conscious that the Lord was calling him, and the Lord had laid claims upon his life even before he was actually born. He was called to minister to his people at their darkest hour. He's been described as the weeping prophet, or the prophet of the broken heart. And yet so few of God's people, so few saints of God shine as brightly in Old Testament history as did Jeremiah. And yet onlookers could look at his ministry in his day and generation and perhaps deem his ministry, humanly speaking, on a human level, to be a failure. Because it seems that he was not heeded by the masses that he was burdened and broken for. But in God's eyes, his ministry was absolutely successful because Jeremiah was faithful right to the very end. He was timid by nature, and yet he was given a very bold and heavy message to proclaim, and he proclaimed it faithfully. And the message was a message, by and large, of judgment. Israel had been seduced by false teachers, men who rose up and brought messages of peace whenever there was no real peace in the nation. And certainly they were not headed into a time of peace, but rather a time of judgment. And Jeremiah stood like a lone voice among them. I'm sure they charged him with being negative. I'm sure most people looked at him and thought, there's a man that's very pessimistic and doesn't seem to have all that much positive to say regarding how the people are living. Some of them might even have said he was an alarmist or a scaremongerer. But Jeremiah was a man who knew the word of God. He knew the heart of God. He knew the mind of God. And he was coming to the people with the word from the Lord. And oftentimes in the minor prophets and in Jeremiah, we have this little phrase, the burden of the Lord. And so often these saintly men of God, these faithful servants of the Lord, whenever God spoke to them, they testified that the word of God came from the Lord to their hearts as a burden. And in Jeremiah 23 and verse 33 and 34 and 36 and 38, we have that little phrase over and over again, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for burden just denotes an exceedingly heavy weight. We have in one of the Levitical books that we read there about the ass crouched under its burden. And it's just a weight, a load that's been put on the ass's back. And it's so heavy that the ass stumbles underneath that weight. And this is the same word that Jeremiah and other prophets use to describe how the word of God has affected their hearts. It comes like an exceedingly heavy weight upon their souls. And Jeremiah spent the greater part of his ministry releasing that burden and offloading that burden onto the people and telling them what God had told him. He's the weeping prophet. He testifies in chapter 9 that he would desire that his eyes were like a fountain of waters and his face would just flow with tears and he might weep day and night for the slain of his people. And then we have this little book here of Lamentations. Lamentations reads like Jeremiah's journal. The prophecy of Jeremiah predicts the fall of Jerusalem. And then the little book of Lamentations looks back on that fall with great lament and great anguish and great distress and great bitterness of soul. Because Jerusalem fell in 586 BC and was destroyed, and the people were led captive, and the temple came to be destroyed, and the gates were burned with fire, and the walls were broken down, and for some 70 years the children of Israel would be in captivity. And it was an awful time for the people of Israel. There was famine in the land, physically speaking. There was distress, there was disease, there was poverty, there was all sorts of things going on. And Jeremiah's heart is further broken as he writes this little book of Lamentations. It just reads like a journal or a diary as this great man of God expresses the burden of his heart. And in chapter 2 and verse number 19, he expresses his burden for a generation that is growing up during days of such departure and such destruction. And he calls anyone who will listen to prayer. And he utters these words, "Arise, cry out in the night, In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. A generation that is growing up that does not know the Lord. A generation of young Jewish children growing up outside of Jerusalem, growing up in bondage and in captivity. Growing up whenever there's no glory dwelling in the land anymore, and growing up and they're starving and they're fainting for hunger and there's nothing to fill their bellies and there's less even to fill their souls. And Jeremiah is greatly burdened for a generation that are growing up that have been born into a situation that they did not choose for themselves to be in. And he's burdened for a lost generation. Such a verse is deeply relevant for us this evening, in this day and generation that we are living in. There's a generation tonight that is growing up and they know nothing of the blessing of God, spiritually speaking, in their lives. They know nothing of what it is to sit in times in church meetings and church services whenever the tide is in and God is working and God is moving. In fact, I read somewhere just recently that less than 1% of people in Britain, less than 1% of children in Britain ever have been in a Sunday school class. Less than 1%. And it's a smaller percentage still that would find themselves in a place of worship, Christian worship, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And it's a smaller fraction still of young people who would find themselves under the sound ministry of the Word of God, under the sound of the Gospel. So we're living, friends, in days where there's a generation of young people growing up, born into a situation whenever a nation has departed from God. And I want to encourage those tonight who have children of their own and those in our church who work amongst boys and girls, whether it's and a Wednesday night here in Lisburn or in McGabbery or in a Friday night or a Lord's Day morning in Sunday school or in Bible class, or those of you who have grandchildren, or those of you who are praying people, and I believe tonight that you're all praying people. And I want to make an appeal to pray for the generation that's growing up around us, that faint for hunger in the top of every street. They faint for hunger for want of living bread. This verse speaks very simply about a burden for a lost generation. And as we think about this burden that Jeremiah had for a lost generation, we'll notice first of all the explanation for the burden. He explains why he has got such a burden. The burden is for the young children. Jeremiah is burdened for a generation born into a situation that they did not make for themselves. The generation beforehand had departed from God. They had heaped to themselves teachers because they had itching ears, men that would tickle their ears and slap their backs and tell them what they wanted to hear, and truth lay fallen in the streets, and men like Jeremiah were despised and rejected and scorned. And now that the nation is far from God, in captivity and bondage, left without a temple, left without a tabernacle, and the city of Jerusalem lies almost in ruins, and now there's a generation growing up and they know nothing of a time whenever glory dwelt in the land. They knew nothing other than being born into a society that is departed from God and is in bondage in a foreign land. Jeremiah explains his burden because he is burdened for the salvation of the children. Look at what he says. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children. For the lives of thy young children. Children were physically dying in the streets. They were dying in the streets. As Jeremiah surveyed the situation, he saw young children hadn't had a real start in life at all. And there they were, starving, dying in the streets. And his heart was broken. He explains a little bit further in verse number 21. The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. And he watches and he sees, here's children. And we need to lift up our hearts and voices and cry unto God for the lives of our young children. The children are dying. It seems that there's no hope. They have nothing to live for. They have very little to live on. They're in great need of deliverance. And whenever we think of the generation that is growing up in Northern Ireland and in Lisburn tonight, in a spiritual sense, this is the picture. Young boys, young girls, dying in sin. Born into this world. They didn't ask to be born. Born into this world. Into a society where things that were once deemed to be evil and wicked and wrong are now lauded and praised and deemed to be right, and they don't know any different. And they're born with an eternal soul, created to know God, and then one day will spend eternity in heaven or hell. And Jeremiah explains, I am burdened for the children, I am burdened for their salvation. I can remember as a little boy, one night sitting in the house, I was maybe 5 or 6 years of age, and Mum was sitting watching the news, and this Dubliner came on, his name was Bob Geldof, and he was a rock star, and he was passionate about something. He had come to learn about this famine that had hit Ethiopia in 1982. It had carried on for 2 years by that stage. It would go on for another year after that. And this man was making an appeal that people might send relief and send aid, and that they might have a burden for multitudes that were dying. And I can still remember this man fuming, furious. Here we are in the West. Here we are in Britain. Here we are in England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. And we have food and despair. And he says there are people, millions of them, and they're dying. And he was passionate. And he couldn't rest until something was done and money was raised. And only tonight, if we had something of a burden for the lost young people that are dying, taking their lives, turning to drugs, they know nothing of love and warmth in the home. They know nothing of security. They know nothing of an open Bible within the family. They know nothing of prayer. They know nothing of a God who can guide them and lift them and lead them and lift their burdens. They know absolutely nothing of that. And the sad reality is tonight that the Church of Jesus Christ has little care or little concern. Leonard Ravenhill, in his great book, Why Revival Tarries, a man who was certainly gifted with his pen and was very eloquent in his preaching and was also poetical, he wrote a little poem one time. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard a drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in patience and let his patients die? Could a fireman sit at home and let men burn and give no hand? And yet we can sit at ease in Zion and the world around us damned. In another book that he wrote, Revival God's Way, he has a title. And the title in itself is something for us to consider. Hell burns while the church sleeps. Hell burns while the church sleeps. Still in another one of his books, he tells the story of Napoleon Bonaparte, who brought some of his military generals into one of his rooms, and they were discussing strategy to try to take over the entire world. And they had a map of Europe and they had a map of the world, and there it was. He had a red X through every country that heretofore he had already conquered, and he was trying to discuss a strategy to get another country and still another. And then somebody pointed at China and says, what about China? And Napoleon said, China is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. Don't wake China. If we wake in China, we're in trouble. Our campaign will be over. And Leonard Ravenhill said, could it be that the devil has a map of the world? And he looks at all of the nations that he has under his control, under bondage and captivity and slavery to false religion and to sin. And then he calls his demons and he points at the church and says, don't waken the church. The church is the sleeping giant. If we waken the church, we're finished. Let her sleep. Let the church sleep, and the world is ours. Jeremiah had watched his nation be rocked to sleep by a lullaby of apostate preachers. And now that destruction has come, his heart is broken. He knows that a generation is lost and gone. But oh, there's a generation coming up. And maybe if we cry unto God for their lives and for their salvation, things can be turned around in a short space of time. Jeremiah is a prophet with a burdened and a broken heart. He's burdened for the salvation of the children. He's burdened for the desolation of the children because he makes mention that they faint for hunger. They faint for hunger. There's a famine, a physical famine that's befallen Jerusalem. And there's children there, and there are children. And they're fainting for hunger. They're perishing, they're dying, they're fainting for want of living bread. They're starving. They're empty. The prophet Amos spoke about another type of famine. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, he says, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send the famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It's not that the word of God isn't there. It's a famine in a sense in the people's ears. They will not hear. And young people tonight need to hear the word of God. I was speaking to somebody recently and they'd been teaching in a school. And they had brought some Bible lessons to the children around the theme of the birth of Christ and then the death of Christ and the resurrection. And they were alarmed that children growing up in Northern Ireland, not all that far from here, had never heard of it. Never heard about a Savior that died on a cross. Thought that the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus was just a fairy tale. They couldn't believe it, that this teacher came and told them, now this is in the Bible and it's true. And they said a little girl, about 5 or 6, came after school. Is that story really true? They couldn't believe that this teacher believed that this was true and was telling them, this is what the Bible says and this is the truth of God's word. It was foreign to them. You ask children now simple quiz questions, and many of them are ignorant. Multitudes growing up today with no knowledge at all, no working knowledge of the gospel. And the reality is, it says here, they faint for hunger. They feel like giving up. They feel that they can't go on. They say that in parts of North Belfast and West Belfast, they don't even report now the amount of young people, teenagers and young men, especially in their 20s, taking their own lives. Just so many fainting, giving up on life, dissatisfied with all that they have experienced, and they faint for hunger, depression, suicide, and self-harm and substance abuse are so prevalent nowadays. I think of my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation, and some of the things that are being talked about completely foreign to them. And yet now it's the norm. Jeremiah explains his burden, the salvation of the children, the desolation of the children. And then he makes mention of the location of the children. He says they faint for hunger in the top of every street. I'm not exactly sure what the population of Lisburn is. I googled it there, Lisburn and Castlereagh Borough, 144,000. I'm not sure how many of that figure would be children. I'm sure it's a fair percentage. But in the Lisburn area alone, there are some 20 primary schools, some 6 secondary schools, not to mention various colleges and places of further education and so on and so forth. And you don't have to go too far before you find some young person without Christ and without a Savior. Jeremiah says, I see them literally on the top of every street, everywhere I go, there they are, huddled together, starving, dying in their sins. On the top of every street, every part of town, the rough part of town, the good parts of town as well. And I'm not sure how many children there are in Lisburn, but in every street around this church, half a mile radius, there are children in every street, hundreds of them. And multitudes are dying in their sins. Nothing to live for. Doesn't matter what part of your city you go to, whether you go to the county downside or this side of the city. Doesn't matter. They're everywhere. Fainting for hunger in the top of every street. We used to sing at missionary rallies and conventions, far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. We could change the words, not far away. In heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever, forever will be lost. Jeremiah is burdened for a lost generation. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10 explains something of the great burden that he had for his day and generation, apostate Judaism who had rejected the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, in chapter 9 of Romans and verse 1, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Those are solemn words. Paul can put pen to paper and write this down and can testify, my conscience is clear when I say these words in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could, if it were possible, I could wish myself were accursed from Christ, separated from Christ. I could wish myself lost. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, if it were possible for me to be separated from Christ, so that my brethren could take my place in Christ, I could almost wish that that would happen. That's his burden for the lost. He's almost saying, I would give up my place in the kingdom of God if somebody else could have it. Such a burden. Chapter 10, he begins the chapter, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Robert Raikes was a man burdened for the children of his day and generation. Many around him were a lot like him as well, men like William Booth and across the water, men like D.L. Moody. But Robert Raikes started the Sunday school movement. He realized there's a generation that are not being taken to church, they're not being taught the gospel, and he set up a Sunday school movement, and God richly and abundantly blessed him. And I want you tonight to pray for the Sunday school work and the children's work of this church. And for the boys and girls who come along. Thank God for those who sit on the other side of this pulpit wall on a Wednesday night and others that sit up there in McGabry and they hear the Word of God. And many of them, it's maybe the only time in the week that the Word of God is opened. It's maybe the only time in the week where they hear the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, other than in a swear word or an oath. It's maybe the only time in the week where they hear God mentioned whenever it's not being used as a curse word. And it's such a vital, it's such an important work. And we can all be part of it and all get the burden for the children who frequent this place. And we can pray for others that God will speak to their hearts and God will bless the outreach ministry of this church and others that will be going out this week to reach the lost. The explanation of Paul of Jeremiah's burden. Then there's also the expression of his burden. He says, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Arise. That speaks of activity. He's calling the people to rise up. He might have said, must I be carried to the skies and flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? As Jeremiah explains his burden, he also expresses his burden. And you'll notice that his burden was expressed vocally. And he's encouraging others to express that burden vocally as well. Arise, cry out. Cry out. An inward burden needs an outward release. He doesn't here speak about eloquence. He doesn't here speak about theology. He doesn't speak about how we frame our prayers. It seems that he's almost indicating those things aren't the most important. What we really need to do is cry out unto the Lord. And let our cries be heard. Our weeping, our wailing, our brokenness. Cry out. It's the same thought that Paul expresses, I believe, in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15, where he talks about prayer. And he says there that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in the 15th verse of Romans 8, he says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Little child born into the world, one of the first things generally that little child will do, it'll begin to cry. I don't know if they still do it, but the midwife used to smack the baby on the behind to make it cry. Because it's a good thing. And whenever a person is born again of the Spirit of God, they begin to pray. They begin to want their Father. They begin to express the needs of their heart. They maybe can't verbalize it, but they can vocalize it. They maybe can't articulate it, but they can communicate it. And maybe there's a burden on your heart this evening and you can't verbalize it. You can't articulate it. But Paul and Jeremiah here speak about this cry that rises up from the heart. God hears and answers the heart's cry. So many of the prayers that were answered in the Bible were prayers that were very brief, but prayers that were very deep. We read about individuals who cried unto the Lord, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. We read about others who cried out unto the Lord for the lives of their children. And God heard and God answered their prayer. The burden was expressed vocally. The burden must be expressed vitally. Arise, cry out in the night, in the darkness. Cry out. Again, to quote Leonard Ravenhill just comes to mind again. He says, you know, we can do one of two things in the darkness. We're living in dark days, of course. He says we can sit and we can curse the darkness. Or else we can light a candle. We can curse or lament the darkness, or we can light a candle. And many of God's people are lamenting the darkness of the days that we're living in. And we know that they're dark days. But we can sit and curse the darkness and lament the spirit of the age and talk about the generations growing up, how there's maybe a lot to be desired and all the rest of it, and it wasn't like that years ago, and people don't know right from wrong, and they don't care, and they're apathetic, and they're indifferent, and they embrace things that were never embraced years ago, and we can sit and lament the darkness, or else we can light a candle, and we can arise and cry on to the Lord, and lift up our hearts and lift up our voices and endeavor to do something to share the word of God. Let's not be defeatists tonight. Let's not resign ourselves to the fact we're living in dark days and people are lost all around us and maybe they deserve to be. Let's not be heartless. Let's not be callous. Let's not look at the homosexual or the drug addict or the person that's had an abortion and curse them and point the finger at them. Let's lift up our voices on high. Let's pray for them. I think it's so important. And it says that we're to do it in the beginning of the watches. We're not to be procrastinators. Things are waxing worse. And Jeremiah is still holding out hope that something can change, even at this late hour. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Let's seek the Lord now. Let's not wait. Even if others are sleeping, if others have gone to sleep, he says, let us arise and let's cry out. Let's cry unto the Lord. The burden was expressed vocally, vitally, and vividly. Pour out thine heart like water. If you ever read Oswald Chambers, his little devotional book that was compiled after his death by his wife, as she took some of his lecture notes to his students and some of his devotional writings, she wrote that little book compiling his words, My Utmost for His Highest. And there's a little phrase that comes up over and over again. If you ever go through that book in a year, where Mr. Chambers, in his prayers, he used to say, Lord, make us to be like broken bread and poured out wine. That might sound like strange language to us. But he's just praying, Lord, I recognize that a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, break us and make us to be like poured out wine. Empty us, Lord, of self. May we be broken and contrite and empty before your throne. That you might melt us and mold us and fill us, even with your love and with yourself. Pour out thine heart like water. The heart. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had a heart of love, a heart of compassion. You know the verse as well, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Whenever he saw the multitudes that fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And as he stood from that vantage point and he looked then at another time at Jerusalem and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee with stones. Even in spite of it all, You've killed the prophets. You've killed my servants. You've stoned my beloved servants that I've sent to witness to you. But oh, I would still gather you. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes, for they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jeremiah was a man who for the greater part of his ministry knew what it was to pour out his heart like water. His eyes like a fountain of tears. There's an old chorus, I think it was written maybe in the 1970s or sometime like that. My eyes are dry. My heart is cold. My faith is weak. My prayers are old. Lord, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up. With oil and with wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Come wash me anew in the wine of your blood. I wonder tonight, are our eyes dry? Are our hearts cold? Is our faith weak? Are our prayers old? You'll know well, some of you, the story of an individual who went to the church of Robert Murray McShane in Dundee, St. Peter's. Mr. McShane had passed on to be with the Lord at a very young age. And the sexton of the church was still there, and he used to take delight whenever visitors came and show them around the church and around the auditorium. And he used to bring people in, and he brought one individual in, and he took him up into the pulpit and says, this is the pulpit that Mr. McShane preached in. He says, just you put your hands on either side of this pulpit and weep. He He says, that's how Mr. McShane preached. And then he took him into the minister's room, and there's an old wooden table and a chair, and the table was stained. And he says, sit down in this chair and put your head in your hands and weep. That's how Mr. McShane prepared his sermons. What a man of God. I remember hearing about some young students in Bible college. I'm not sure where the faculty was or what country it was in, but they were all meeting together one night for a dinner and for a meal. And some of these young men were preparing for the mission field, and others were preparing for ministry, and some of them had just entered into the ministry, and some of the old faculty, some of the old lecturers were there. And there's one man who was a great man of God who had spent a long time in the mission field, and he was old and he was wise and he knew the Lord. And they were talking around the table having finished their dinner, and they were talking about the things of God, and the old debate came up about what happens to those who never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. How will God judge them? How will they stand before God someday? Will they be punished with the same type of stripes that those who have heard the gospel have? And all of the young students from different theological perspectives threw in their debates and threw in their penny's worth of advice, and they debated it and they talked about it, and the old saintly man just sat at the end of the table and he said nothing. And then one of the students was bold and he said, sir, what do you think happens to those who never hear the gospel? Will they be judged as severely as we are here in the West whenever we are so rich in our gospel heritage? How do you think God will punish them? What's going to happen to them? And they all wanted to hear some great answer. But the old man couldn't lift his head. He just sat there at the end of the table with his head down, and they were anticipating an answer, and they just watched as the tears dripped off his nose. Heartbroken. For multitudes who had never heard, and here's all the theologians, and they're so flippant and they're so argumentative, debating where the souls of the lost will be in God's eternity, who have never heard. Friends, our doctrine can be as straight as a gun barrel and just as cold and just as empty. William Booth wrote a telegram to a young man who was tempted to come home from the field of service that he had been put in. He wrote to Mr. Booth and said, I'm coming home. It's futile. It's hard. It's difficult. Nothing's happening. And Mr. Booth just wrote back two words, try tears. Try tears. I see here the explanation of this great burden that Jeremiah has. I see as well the expression of the burden. But lastly, I also see the exposure of his burden. There's little point in having a burden if you don't have a vision. I remember it read somewhere, to have, if I can just get it right, to have a vision with no burden, that just makes you a visionary. To have a burden with no vision is drudgery. But to have both a vision and a burden, that's what makes a true missionary. I trust tonight that God has given us something of a burden, but we also need something of a vision. To realize that a world around us is lost and people are dying in sins and they will not come to Christ that they might have life, and to think that that's how it must be and that's how it has to be. Friend, I can't think of much more depressing than that. A fatalistic, defeatist attitude. But Jeremiah exposes here where he is placing his burden. As with the psalmist, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Jeremiah says, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water, for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. But notice that he says, before the face of the Lord, lift up thy hands toward him. This is where Jeremiah is looking, heavenward. Pour out your hearts before the face of the Lord. Whenever we think of the face of the Lord turning towards his people, it speaks of mercy and grace and deliverance and salvation. Psalm 80, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. In the tabernacle you had the table of showbread. It speaks of fellowship. And the word for showbread in the Hebrew compound word, lechem and panim, the bread of faces. And as we gaze upon the face of our God and the Lord turns his face toward us as we enter into the secret chambers of prayer, we enter into a wonderful place of fellowship where the Lord can fill us with this living bread. And as the Lord fills us to overflowing, we can take the bread that God gives us and give it out to others, those that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Lift up your hands towards him. The lifting up of hands in Scripture, it denotes prayer. We think of the lifting up of hands, and it indicates an individual coming before the Lord, expressing their emptiness, expressing their desire, expressive, perhaps, of purity, lifting up holy hands. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The vision and the burden is expressed visually towards him. It ought to go without saying that our prayer should be directed towards the Lord. Friends, tonight it's time to seek the Lord, especially for the lives of our young children. I want you to pray for the children's work. I want you to pray for the Sunday school, Bible class, youth fellowship, Wednesday night meetings. Pray for the children of this city. Pray for your own children as well, that the Lord will save them and the Lord will keep them.